The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you ever seen Reggie's Prayer?
I'm familiar with Reggie's Prayer. Reggie's Prayer.
Yes.
Which was a movie from the 90s that, were you in it?
No, Brett and Holmgren.
I know, Brett was
Brett
in
and
it.
Holmgren's scene in the movie was the best part of the movie.
Hey, you're the new coach. Told you.
Told you.
First game.
20 minutes of kickoff.
MC Hammer's in that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Miyagi's in that movie?
Wow.
Yeah. The Big Show's in that movie?
Star-studded cast.
Yeah, that's a star-studded cast.
What was the premise of this movie?
I don't really know.
20 minutes. Yep. Been here 17 years. Bert's been here 3.
Well, okay. I guess I got to get going. We got a game.
Do you guys want to guess at the lifetime gross of Reggie's Prayer from 1996?
$7,000.
$1.2 million.
$52,000.
My son and I invented a football play a few years ago. Here.
1979?
Yeah, Coach Carney was a busy fella. Busy, busy, busy guy. I call it the Left Coast Special.
Looks like the quarterback option.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
She's running around, she wants to ride, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stack it just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running around. She wants to ride, she's trying to hide it.
It feels like the name we have heard popping out of Packers training camp the most over the last few days has been one Romeo, oh Romeo, Dobbs is everywhere Romeo. I am seeing Jair Alexander singing his praises. I am reading about him in The Athletic. I am reading about him in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I am seeing that Dobbs, Romeo Dobbs, is making a case to be the number one wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Chew, would it surprise you if he was the guy, if he emerged as the guy, as Jordan Love's number one target in the 2024-2025 season?
No. But it's cupcake training camp.
Every day, every time.
You know. And so, you know what? I
are
just,
you telling me you're getting whiffs of all Oneida? Is that what's going on here?
No, because he's already proven himself.
Okay.
But I want to see it. Just does Jair annoy anyone other than me? Ooh. It's just annoying. I just have shades of a guy who I used to play with that I can't stand.
Whomst would that be?
You know who it is. Romeo Dobbs is really good because he beat me one time.
Oh, you're saying that Jair is kind of inflating Romeo Dobbs to explain why he's gotten the best of him at practice.
I just don't like how he goes about. He just bothers the
other
people.
I'm really good, so to beat me, you have to be really good.
Yes.
Which would not be the worst thing in the world for Packers fans, right? If that were the case.
If it was true.
Well, what makes you think it's not?
I don't know. I have to see. I mean, put it this way. One-on-ones, it's the easiest thing to do for receiver/tight end. There's no rush. There's no nothing. It's you and him. You know where you're going. You got all this field in front of you. There's nothing else. So if we're measuring it based upon that, or 7-on-7, everything in those drills are stacked towards the offense. Just like when we would do one-on-one against linebackers, mm-hmm. You know, blocking or pass blocking them, they have the advantage.
The offense.
No, the defense does.
Oh, the defense.
If it's me run blocking against an outside linebacker.
But in this situation, you're saying that the offense has the advantage.
Offense has the advantage. Yes.
Okay.
So you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt.
But
the third year, I will say this, Jen, the third year is very important, you know.
I thought it was understood we take everything out of training camp with a grain of salt. Other than, and we'll talk about this as the show goes on, we've got Jason Wilde coming up not too long from now. Other than, like, where guys are being slot on the offensive line. Because I think there is some merit to seeing, oh, Jordan Morgan playing right guard in practice. They obviously think that might be somewhere where he can make waves for this offensive line. That to me pops. Like, okay, that gives me an indication of maybe how the team is going to use that player. But all of the one-on-one competition stuff, who gets beat, who got the best of what rep, eh, I don't know. Because again, to Chu's point, I don't know how much you can take from that.
Who's going out there with the number ones is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Because that gives you a look into what the, to Jen's point, it gives you an idea of what the coaches are thinking. So if Dobbs isn't one of the top three receivers, if it's instead Wicks and Reed and Watson, who are the top three receivers, and they get like the first four reps at wide receiver in the full team period, to me, that probably means more than Romeo Dobbs beating Jair Alexander at a one-on-one rep.
Well, when it comes to Morgan, you don't know if them plugging him in there is like, hey, he's our first round pick. We, you know, it's not look like we screwed up here. We have to put him in somewhere. You just don't know.
But it with gives Dobbs, you an idea of wherever they land on the offensive line, it kind of gives you an idea of what they want to do. Because versatility has always been important for offensive linemen with the Packers.
Yeah.
So, oh, okay, they want to see if he can handle this in case there's an injury, they can slide him here or they can slide him there. So the offensive lineman alignment is somewhat important. I'm not saying it's the end-all be-all, but I think it's somewhat important.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, there's things like the running back position. Like, oh, he had a nice gain on this play. Well, let me tell you what. I don't even know if they go thud anymore. A linebacker is not coming downhill in a training camp practice where there's no tackling or anything like that, as opposed to a game.
Is there any
so how do you measure a running back on? He gained 7 yards there. Yeah, oh, really?
I get what you're saying on that. Excuse me. Is there any stipulation, though, when there is also a battle at the opposing position? So you're talking running backs and you're talking linebackers. Running backs. Oh, okay. I guess we're doing that today. Running backs and linebackers. If there is a battle at the linebacker position, because I was reading that Edgerrin Cooper was not rolling with the ones yesterday at practice, does that change that, Chu? If you've got guys like Isaiah McDuffie and you've got other guys out there who are actually trying to Eric Wilson is a name that you're seeing in the, at the linebacker. Does that change it? Because you know he's going to be going, you know, pretty hard out there.
No, they just want to see if they can play. Because there is such a difference between your ones and twos. There is. It's a huge drop-off. So they have to put him in with the ones to see, hey, if something happens to our starting linebacker, can this guy step up and play? That's why they have to stick him into those situations. That's why most times when you go team, it's rarely ever ones against ones. It's always number one offense against the number two defense, number one defense against the number two offense.
If you were in a position battle the way that the linebackers are, would there be days where the coaches said, hey, we want to get extended reps for this guy, so all day you're going to run with the ones, and maybe the next day you just flip-flop it instead of, oh, we're just going to trade off reps, or you get 3 reps, and then you get 3 reps, and instead you kind of get more of a flow throughout the course of a practice?
At this point in camp, yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you Gabe, is that what you think is happening with Wilson?
It's certainly possible. I don't know. I mean, it's just something that kind of crossed my mind. When you're going through a big-time battle like that, trying to fight for position, because sometimes it all depends upon what offense is called, right? Like, if you only have 3 plays and the next guy gets 3 plays, like, maybe one of the 3 you had an opportunity to shine, whereas, you know, linebacker, the next 3 plays are pass plays away or, you know, run plays away, and there's just nothing for you to showcase what you do.
Like where we'll really be able to find out is, who are they scrimmaging, Baltimore, practicing with?
Oh, I don't even remember who they're sharing.
So
they doing
are,
joint practices with.
Yeah, they're doing joint practices here. Give me a second.
That's when we'll really know. You know, because they'll be going up against.
Yeah, well, so Baltimore will be here. I think they're doing one with Cleveland as well before they
let's
play.
Let's see.
The
and this thing is just so fluid, you know. Say Dobbs pulls his hamstring, then he's to the back of the line and someone else has to emerge. What I want to ask Jason is the guys we're not hearing about. We're not hearing about Watson. We're not really hearing about Van Ness.
I saw something about Watson yesterday.
He's caught deep passes in each of the last two practices.
But practice ended on the next play with Stokes intercepting Love on the goal line on a pass intended for Watson, who appeared to not cut to where the ball was thrown. Mostly it was a timing thing for me, Watson said. I thought I would have a little bit more time to work the route, but it was an all-out pressure. I got to get there a little bit quicker.
Like the thing that drives me nuts is these guys talk about touchdowns in the red zone.
Yeah.
You know how easy that is for the offense? You know how easy it is for normally you have to sift through 9 pounds of crap even to get into your route. 7-on-7, you got nothing. La la la. It's so stop gushing over it. It's so easy.
You're running a crosser in the end zone, you were singing to yourself in the 7-on-7s.
Yeah. I hate how he comes on the radio and he's like, the Emperor has no clothes. Why does everyone keep acting?
But I mean,
like the Emperor is wearing clothes.
I feel like I'm taking crazy strutting around
out there.
Can I just one question and someone please, did they gush like this in 96 and 97?
I mean, I was 9 or 10.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Twitter didn't exist. Yeah. I mean, they had training camp reports. I would remember reading stuff in like the Journal Sentinel back then. If a quarterback is
throwing interceptions in 7-on-7, go to the USFL, please, or whatever. I mean, that should not happen. It is such an advantage for the offense.
Let's hear from Jair Alexander, who was talking about the wide receivers. We were talking about Romeo Dobbs.
Chewy's fired up, so let's fire him up some more.
About the guy, you know, could he be wide receiver number one? Let's hear what Jair had to say yesterday.
Who's one of the guys we need to really keep an eye on this year that's going to emerge for that receiver group? You got someone in mind, I can tell.
Oh, I do. I mean, I got a couple of them. I know. I mean, like I said before, Romeo Dobbs approaches the game like a pro. Yeah. You know, you can see it in his third year. I mean, he goes about it the right way. I mean, that dude's probably going to get double and triple teamed all year. Mm. The next step up is Jaden Reed. Man, young kid is electric, man. He can go. He can fly down the field. I mean, and then you got a whole lineup. But right now, like I said, Romeo Dobbs is slowly becoming one of my favorite receivers in the league.
Triple teamed, huh? Really?
Is it good if Romeo Dobbs is the wide receiver one?
Someone's got to be.
Based on his physical limitations in comparison to the other guys.
Well, he's going to be triple team, so probably going to use him as a decoy.
Wicks is going to be wide open. Yeah.
Okay.
And if he's getting triple teamed,
Mustafa's going to be able to stay on his feet.
Who is this buffoon defensive coordinator who's triple teaming Romeo Dobbs? Yeah. And how did Joe Barry get another job so quickly?
I don't know. See, as soon as he said that, you just dismiss it. I'm like, whatever. Am I right?
It kills me, though, a little bit, because I do think that most fans are looking for things to be excited about, right? We talked about Jordan Love signing the big deal and how that's an exciting moment for fans because they've locked up their guy for the future, puts the NFC on notice for a lot of fans out there. You want to hear the things from training camp. What's going well? Who's winning those battles? Who's playing in what spots and all of that? And Chewy just keeps going,
but it's like day one. Day one. Rashawn Gary looks unbelievable in no pads. You know? Had three sacks.
Against a guy.
Is he still on the roster?
I think he's still on the roster as of right now.
So you have to.
Yeah, he's not making it.
You have to filter through all this stuff. Because drills are geared, like I said, towards the offense has the advantage or the defense has the advantage.
But to your point, you do want to get excited about something, but the second you hear him say, oh man, this guy's going to get double or triple teamed all year. All right, now you went too far. Now I can't get excited about this because now you're selling too much. You're selling over the top. Now I know that this is BS because nobody's triple teaming Romeo Dobbs.
Yes.
Is there anyone in the league that is getting triple teamed? This isn't basketball. Like
Giannis in the Olympics?
Yeah, exactly. That's a great... I don't know if you
Bo Jackson
seen that
in Nintendo. They should have triple teamed him.
If you haven't seen that image of Giannis in one of the recent games where he's playing for the Greek national team, he is there with the ball, and you can see the entire rest of the team and not another Greek player in the shot. It is unbelievable. 800-990-3776, talking about training camp today, and do you want to see Romeo Dobbs emerge as the number one wide receiver? Because Joshy brings up a good point. Is that good for the Packers if he is the guy? Like, Josh, do you have a preference? Would you rather it be a different guy on the Packers team? Would you rather it be by committee? Because that's what we think it is going to be for this Packers squad this year. And they don't have a first-round draft pick, obvious draft pick, who is going to step into that spotlight. So what is your preference of how it shakes out for the wide receivers?
I do think the Packers need a wide receiver one to emerge, and I think it will eventually happen throughout the course of the season. The Romeo Doubs thing is he's just physically limited in comparison to the other guys on the field. He's great at catching the ball, great in contested situations, great route runner.
Because he's always in contested situations.
Right. But he's also, James Jones is like his ceiling. A guy like Christian Watson could be like a top 10 wide receiver in the league because of his physical abilities. Dontavian Wicks is a lot better. Jaden Reed with the ball in his hands could be like Deebo Samuel. Those are all guys that have really high highs. It's just Romeo Doubs' ceiling's limited.
He's nice.
He's a lovely option.
He's a nice player.
Good to have on
maybe
your team.
Maybe he did emerge. I don't know. I need to see him route run, and I want to ask Jason, who does he remind you? I mean, he wears number 87, so I automatically want to go to Robert Brooks.
He's not as fast as Robert.
Yeah. Who was an unbelievable route runner.
Yeah.
In all my years, Robert Brooks might have been better than Sterling, might have been the best route runner I've seen. Puts it in the ground, doesn't need a few steps to stop. It was in the ground, out of his cut, so flipping. But Robert was tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the snot beat out of him. Like, I'm looking at a headline here. Despite numerous slash plays, Grant DuBose might face a tall order breaking into. I can't because it cuts you off. And I ain't paying for their stupid service. But I mean,
well, how did we get a Monday Chewy on Thursday? How did this happen?
I can only handle so much gush. You know what I mean?
Put it on the poll, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Is there too much gush coming out of Packers training camp? I think it's a fair question. Look, I am interested in, I read the entire Matt Schneidman on The Athletic. He did sort of a play-by-play, position-by-position, one-on-one by one-on-one. I really enjoyed it. Again, there is a lot of useful information out there. I think Chewy's point is, take it for what it's worth. And you're saying it's not worth much. We've got Jason Wilde coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We will certainly ask him what has stood out. And, oh, by the way, did the Green Bay Packers make a big announcement yesterday about an all-white everything? We'll talk about that with Jason and more as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
As we're getting closer to the weekend, you know you want to have that freezer stocked up with Palermo's Pizza. You're going to be going out. You're going to be doing something. You're going to get home for dinner time. Man, I don't feel like making dinner. That's where Palermo's comes to the rescue because you're still going to have something that's absolutely delicious. And you're going to find a slice that everybody in your family loves. Because when we're talking about Palermo's, we're not just talking about Palermo's. We're talking about Urban Pie, Connie, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, all underneath the umbrella of Palermo's. And when it comes to frozen pizza, nobody does it better. They've been doing this for 60 years. That's why they have so many different brands, and they've been able to nail all those flavors in all those different brands. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
Ready to down. Put.
All Packers. All the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Highlight of our week, no doubt, getting to chat with Jason Wilde, who is our eyes and ears to Packers training camp. Good morning, Jason. How are you this fine Thursday?
I'm great this fine Thursday. How are you guys?
We are good, although Chewy is very skeptical. He thinks there's too much gushing coming out of Packers training camp, and he's talking about Jair, talking about the wide receivers and Romeo Doubs, and he just wants everybody to kind of pump the brakes and recognize that it's good, but it's not an indicator of future success. Where do you stand on Chewy's position?
Get off my lawn.
No, well, did you know they're going to triple cover Doubs this year? Jason, were you aware of that? Triple coverage.
I was not aware of that, but I will tell you this, my friend. We've got the ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football Draft tonight at Dave and Buster's in Tulsa. And so I'm working ahead on my writing this morning, and I just finished my Romeo Doubs story for tomorrow morning's Wisconsin State Journal. And Jair Alexander earlier in the week said that the two best wide receivers in football are
Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams, sorry.
Jinx.
I'm not sure what happened there. And Romeo Doubs. And of course, when you say something like that, I roll my eyes. And then I think, well, about a year plus ago, he snuck up behind Jordan Love while he was talking to us and put his arm around his neck and shouted, QB1, best QB in the league. And I rolled my eyes. And then I look at what Jordan Love did during the second half of last season. And was there anybody playing the position better than him during the final 8 weeks of the season? So maybe I shouldn't be so quick to dismiss Jair Alexander. Look, Romeo Doubs has cooked Jair Alexander in one-on-ones. He is their best red zone receiver. I mean, he gets open. Now, yesterday, Dontavion Wicks did have a touchdown and then the two-point conversion. So he's not the only one that can be productive in the red zone, but he had the most red zone touchdowns for the Packers last year. He's got a lot of really, really good qualities, and I think we have a tendency to undervalue him. You know, he's really even keeled. He's frankly kind of boring, but he's a better player than we give him credit for. Now, is he going to draw triple coverage? I don't believe so. No, that was you exercising hyperbole.
No,
but,
that's what. No, Jason, did you not hear that comment? Did you not hear that quote directly from Jair on the NFL Network yesterday?
I did not. No,
he said that Romeo Doubs is going to be double or triple teamed. Joshy, do we have it? Let's just play it. Chewy is not being. I mean, he's rolling his eyes as he's saying it sarcastically, but Jair did not sound sarcastic on the NFL Network yesterday.
I can tell.
Oh, I do. I mean, I got a couple of them. I know. I mean, like I said before, Romeo Doubs approaches the game like a pro. Yeah. You know, you can see it in his third year. I mean, he goes about it the right way. I mean, that dude's probably going to get double and triple teamed all year.
Yeah, the last part's not, I doubt it's true because of what else they have, but the first part is true. I mean, he is.
But Jason, the problem with overselling it like that, when you say something like that, it makes me doubt everything else that is said before that.
Well, right, but what did I just say about the QB1 thing, right? Like, look, you have to take things that Jair, kind of like sometimes you have to take things that Chewy says, and try to put them in perspective, right? Like, they may be slightly overstatements. There's no doubt about it. This is how he is wired. But try to forget about the triple coverage stuff and think about the messaging, even if you don't necessarily love the way he goes overboard about it. His messaging on Romeo Doubs is not inaccurate. It isn't. Josh, he was kind of prepping me while I was on hold before we started the segment and talking about maybe how some guys have not, we haven't been talking about some of them. He's right. Like, I think, and I don't know if this is through any fault of his own, but so far in camp, I was just saying this to Domofsky when we were standing at practice the other day together, it feels like Luke Musgrave's had a really quiet camp. Like, you know, a year ago, we're talking about how he runs at the most miles per hour of any of the Packers pass catchers, and like, I don't feel like we're spending a whole lot of time talking about him in camp. I've seen Christian Watson, you know, almost once a day since Love has been back, catch a deep ball from Love that was perfectly placed and he ran past his defender. But beyond that, I don't feel like there's been a huge, you know, Christian Watson buzz. He has been on the field. He hasn't missed any time, which should probably, given his track record, cause us to be buzzing about him a little bit more. But Doubs is Jair Alexander may be engaging in his brand of public praise, but don't mistake his exaggeration for inaccuracy. Romeo Doubs has been that good. He really has.
Who does he remind you of, Jay? And I'll tell you this. Robert Brooks, and I played with a lot of receivers, was the best route runner I've ever played with. Better than Sterling, better than anyone. His problem was he was small and he got the crap beat out of him. But who does he remind you of as a route runner, if he's that good of a route runner?
Yeah, so his overall game reminds me of James Jones. I think James Jones was a really good route runner. He had really, really strong hands. Now, early on in his career, as we all remember, he had some issues with drops, but I think he was as good as anybody at resolving those through sheer work ethic. He was a bigger guy, right? He was stronger. He wasn't the fastest guy, but he was a smooth athlete. So that's who I usually comp him to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, when you do that, then people say, well, you know, James Jones was never a Pro Bowler. James Jones was always the second or third receiver during his time in Green Bay. I mean, the dude did lead the NFL in touchdown catches one year. Like, he's probably one of the more underrated pass catchers during the Rodgers era, right? Like, he's on the cover in 2011 with all those other guys, but you didn't really focus on him. And so, you know, obviously, if we're going to put this kind of praise on Romeo Doubs's name, he's going to have to be more productive than James Jones did. I think James Jones's most yards with the Packers were in the year that he came back after Jordy tore his ACL in 15. But again, if you go into like Love's audio yesterday from when we talked to him, and this is another important thing to point out, he works out with Love during the off season. They're in the same area in California, so they get together a bunch. But somebody told Love yesterday about what Jair had said about Romeo, and his quote was, "Romeo's definitely one of the best. I'm glad Ja's putting respect on his name because he's definitely one of those guys. I think this year he's going to have a breakout year and going to make a huge name for himself." So are we going to get after Love for overstating things? Because those are pretty big. That's pretty big praise, again, from a guy who I would argue doesn't usually say things that are quite that strong.
So is it a bad thing for the Packers if Romeo Doubs ends up being wide receiver one? Because if we were going to compare him to James Jones, and James Jones had his best receiving year when he came back in 15, I remember that offense, Jason. It wasn't. There were some rough times.
Yeah,
and
Come on, Gabe. I mean, who else did they have? They had a beat up Devontae Adams. They had a beat up Randall Cobb. In 15, who was playing tight end for them at that point? Richard Rodgers?
Like, he had a hell of a catch in Detroit.
He did. And tell me about all. He also had a hell of a catch in a playoff game in 14 against Dallas. And then if you'd like to come up with any other catches of his that you remember, let me know.
My larger point, Jason, is the other three that we talk about with the four seem to have a higher physical upside. And if Romeo Doubs ends up being wide receiver one, I think part of that is because the other three aren't living up to their potential. Because there is a ceiling on Romeo Doubs because of his physical limitations.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think it's fair to just now anoint him because of the praise, right? Because you guys are right. It does feel like a lot. But again, it comes from one guy who engages in hyperbole all the time and another guy who really doesn't. So I would say this, like yesterday, again, I thought, you know, at the end of the 2-minute drill, when Love buys a little bit of time and finds Wicks in the back of the end zone and then hits Wicks on the 2-point conversion under pressure, throws the ball before Wicks has even started to come out of his break. So the ball is on top of him literally as he turns around and he makes that catch. That they have guys that are more, I would say, purely talented, right? I mean, look, you watch enough practice, and if you look at what Christian Watson is doing on deep balls, you're like, okay, this guy's unbelievable. The problem, of course, is what is realistic to expect from him despite all the happy talk about solving the differential between his two hamstrings in terms of the asymmetry in his hamstrings, right? We'll see if he plays. if he plays all 17 games, I'm not going to say anything outlandish, but I will be slight. I will be surprised. Wicks finished last season. He had 29 of his 39 catches in the final eight games, and he missed two of those eight games with injuries. So he is, his arrow is pointing up. But the guy that has the at least the greatest track record of any of these guys at this point is Dobbs. And I just don't want to be dismissive when the quarterback says things about him, because he would know. And so when he's talking about having a breakout year, and it's not Jair just being Jair, and it's Jordan Love saying that, I don't think that that's going to mean bad things for this offense. And I don't think it's going to be like the year that Jones had his most yards as a receiver for the Packers was in that 15 season. He had 890. Like, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Dobbs is that air quotes number one receiver, and yet he doesn't have like 1500 yards like Adams did. He has like 970, because they're still, in my opinion, still going to be very balanced in terms of who catches passes. Like last year, it was Reed 793, Dobbs 674, Wicks 581. And then obviously Musgrave missed all that time, and Watson missed all that time. So those were the three that had the most yards receiving. If you, let's just say you bump each of their totals up by 150 yards or whatever it might be, and there's still kind of some combination of those three at the top, I'm not going to be surprised by that. And if Watson is healthy, he's going to take away yardage from those other three because he is going to get the ball. So, again, I hate that phrase, the good problem to have, but if Romeo Dobbs is the guy you go to on third down, the guy you go to in the red zone, and even if he doesn't have significantly more receptions or yards than the other receivers, I think if he's the guy that you go to when the game is on the line or in clutch moments, if you have that balance of a wide receiver group, then he's your number one, whether you want to call him that or not.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. We'll see you tonight. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde will be at our ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Wisconsin draft, fantasy football draft tonight at Dave & Buster's, as we will as well. And you can hear him on Wilde & Tausch right after this very program here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Is your business looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years and for the last 15 here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help navigate the complexities of a constantly changing business market environment with your business in mind. Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions and work from a foundation of strong community connections. Commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The source.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I was
good
getting at.
Good pop. Good pop.
That's, whoa. I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, you can, of course, find that on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast. Interesting stuff from him on whether or not we should be buying the Romeo Dobbs hype. Look, Chewy thinks there's too much gushing coming out of training camp anyway. We put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Is there too much gushing coming out of Packers training camp? And if you listen to the show regularly, you know where Chewy is coming from on that one. There was some interesting news coming out of Packer land last night. Couple of images that showed up on social media. White, white, white uniforms. Teasing the alternate jersey option that appears to be the Packers in an all-white ensemble. And I thought people would be excited about it. I thought people would be like, hell yeah, change it up, looking sharp. No, people were very upset. Joshy, why were people upset?
Apparently people don't like the idea of a white helmet. They want to keep tradition with the yellow Packers and the G. I didn't know it was such a big thing. I thought that was kind of reserved for old people who tell you they watched in the 60s, so they're a better fan than you. But even the young people are mad about it, which was surprising to me.
Well, that's indoctrination is what that is. Chewy, do you have an issue with an all-white look for the Green Bay Packers?
I don't, but I know someone that does. By the name of Frankie Bag of Donuts Winner, where the story came from, because the story came from, and I'll O-line to hate it, because white makes you appear bigger than you obviously are.
Or so appear they the had size to wear you actually white. Are.
and
but so he wants all black because it's slimming?
Saw Frankie, some optical illusion happening over here.
John Madden saw Frankie in all white, and he goes, "You look like one of those bag of donuts that were all white that you used to carry around."
Origin?
That's how it came about.
Oh, you've been sitting on this forever?
I thought everybody knew.
You've told that.
That's where Bag of Donuts came from.
Because he was wearing all white uniform.
Yes.
And he was lumpy.
It wasn't slimming.
So what you're saying is Frank is, hey,
he is anti uniforms.
All black.
Yes.
I'm all in on alternate looks. I love that you've got tradition. You know, in the college football space, this exists as well. There are people who always talk about how Alabama should never change from its traditional uniform because it looks so sharp. Sure, whatever. But at the college level, guess what kids get excited about?
New
alternate
unis.
Uniforms, yeah. Right? Like, now you can go to the other extreme and be Oregon and have a different uniform for every week, which again is nice if you got that Nike money, which I know Dan Lanning has talked about recently on the Pat McAfee show. But at the NFL level, I like changing it up. I will say this. If you're going to change it up, you do want to make sure it looks sharp. There is nothing more unattractive than those brown pants
that they whip out
for those Acme uniforms with the blue. Those look bad.
Rodgers loved those. They said they were the most comfortable pants.
Yes, comfortable. I'm talking about attractiveness. They were very unattractive.
What if they just flip the colors? So what is yellow make green, and what was green make yellow? So how would that look?
Inverted jersey?
Yeah.
So
I think that would look cool.
Yellow jersey, green pants?
I have to
green
imagine
helmet.
That exists. Like somebody's done an edit. Yeah.
And then
like
the socks, in Madden or whatever. Socks would be yellow. I think that'd be cool.
I got to think too hard about all the different changes that would have to happen.
I'm having trouble remembering which colors are.
I remember
which
back in the day, Ron wanted to change the colors to more of Notre Dame. So get rid of the yellow and make it gold.
Mm-hmm.
And people went crazy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they went crazy.
So
even though they're considered the green and gold.
Yes.
No one says green and yellow. Well, except for that one song.
Yeah.
Lil Wayne does. Right.
Yeah, Lil Wayne. That's who it was.
No, that was Wiz Khalifa. Hold on. Black and yellow?
Black and yellow.
Yes. So that's black and yellow. But Lil Wayne did a green and yellow song because he's a Packers fan.
Oh. I never heard it.
First of all, the fact that you pulled Wiz Khalifa.
And like he was confident about it. Yeah. Like, he was like, hey, wait just a damn second. I got to stand up for my boy Wiz here.
I am looking at an infographic right now on Packers.com that does have a list of, or I guess more accurately, pictures of the uniforms over the years. And yes, you've got the Acme Packers in the navy blue. You've got a gold-ish version. Maybe that's what Chewy was alluding to. A then blue and yellow. And then you've got the green and yellow. There is a white one here that I'm looking at before you get to the traditional dark green, yellow and white stripes on the sleeves and on the neckline. But I really like the idea of them stepping out there in all white. Joshy, was there any additional information about when this will be, who they'll be facing? Will it be a night game? Like, I think all of that adds to like the drama and mystique of wearing the all white uniforms.
For what I can tell, it appears to be a home game that they're planning it for. And they have not given any indication of when they are teasing it. So I imagine later today, we'll probably have a plan of when a full uniform reveal with the date that it's going to be worn on.
Yeah, and the helmet's going to be white.
Yes.
Because they've done like the white out when they were on Thursday games. You know, you did the color out and the Packers did all white. So they've done that before. The only reason to keep the helmet a mystery is because it's going to be white.
Yeah, and if you look at the first picture, their editing isn't so great. You can see part of the helmet. you can just see the white helmet.
I think the coolest unis in all of college football, coolest, Penn State.
But that's a very traditional
look,
Chew.
I love that all-white look. Can't wear black shoes with it, though, because it makes you slow. That's the only thing.
That's a classic. Our football coach sophomore year made us all wear black shoes and black socks to make us look slower than we were.
Oh, really?
Oh, going the other way.
Yeah. Trying to fool them. Look. I mean, we did run the wishbone.
I didn't need to look any slower.
It wasn't doing me much service. Yeah.
Feels like the stopwatch was doing all that work for you, huh, Chew? Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. I like the idea of a white helmet. I think it's going to look slick. I think, I'm looking at these highlights up there as GetUp is on the televisions above us, and you're seeing the Buffalo Bills they're wearing. They're all whites. They look very good. They got the big blue Buffalo. I imagine you'll get the big green or yellow G on the helmet, but other than that, I think it's a good look. Face masks, white as well?
Yeah, those are going to be white.
I think it looks sweet.
Sign me up. I'm super pumped about this, but really it sounds like there are people out there who are not, and I assume it has to be based on tradition. I assume it is like, I want my team wearing the gold helmet because that represents, I'm looking at the Packers right now as Jordan Love is running down the field celebrating with teammates. They're saying that is the Green Bay Packers, the yellow helmets with the white stripe down the middle, the G on the side, and they don't want to deviate from that.
What I don't understand is there's teams, like they just showed the Cowboys. The Cowboys are what you would consider like historic uniforms.
That looks great.
They change all the time.
But it looks so good even right now. I'm seeing Dak Prescott kissing up to the audience, kissing up to the fans. Wow, that sounded wrong. He's not kissing up to them. Like
celebrating
to
them.
He was celebrating with a kiss. With a kiss. Kissing up to the fans. What would that even be? And he was wearing all white. Exactly.
I'm just not as mired in tradition that way. Yeah. I guess it doesn't bother me. Be fun. Be entertaining. Guess what? More sales.
Now, let me ask you this, though. If they go out and wear the all whites and they lay a stinker.
We'll never
right?
see him again.
Never see him again.
Put him away. Yeah. Lock him up. Like, in that way, I am superstitious of like, well, it was a good run, white uniforms. I do want to get to Tom Pelissero's comments about the Green Bay Packers, saying that he would not be shocked if they make it to the Super Bowl or some variation of that. We'll get to that in the second hour of the show. But before then, Chewy's got a little package over here. Wow. Okay. Chewy?
Maybe you should
Chewy?
Let's take a timeout. Let's
Chewy
just go
received
ahead.
A package.
That's
heavy,
what
though.
I was going
it's very
to say.
Heavy.
You know, that's...
He's got two packages
Speaking
over
of helmets, we thought it was a helmet.
Chewy has received a package. Yes. We're going to open it next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Look, you could be dealing with low testosterone, not even realize it. Maybe you just think it's part of the aging process. As you get older, you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself. Don't have that energy to attack the day like you once did. It doesn't have to be that way. Mentality can help with their customized testosterone treatment plans just for you. Go through the process, lowtusa.com. You book an appointment, get a blood panel done. If your testosterone levels are low, you can work with Mentality, just like I have, to have that energy to attack my day and do all the different shows that I do across our station. Go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality, their low testosterone treatments, lowtusa.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh said it's garbage.
I'm so glad that Josh is getting a front row seat.
He said it doesn't work.
Chewy,
am I right or wrong?
We call that a setup in the biz.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Cooling my blood and warming my heart. So come on down and walk with me and tell me I'm your man.
A package has arrived here at Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all studios. You cut it out.
I ain't getting any action tonight, I can tell you that. It's kind of a big package. I mean,
it's got some good heft to it.
It's heavy. That was a great line.
Joshy, could you jump in here, please? I'm drowning. Could use a little life vest.
Is there any part of you guys that think maybe we should peek inside of it so we're not opening anything inappropriate? We're talking packages.
Does part of me think we should do that? Oh, absolutely. Are we going to do that? Absolutely not.
All right. What do you think it could be?
I don't know.
You thought it was a bomb.
First, I thought it was a helmet. Yo, is that right?
If that's a bomb, you thought your rant against San Francisco got us a lot of views last
that's
year.
True.
I just want to absolve myself of all responsibility. This is on you three.
Right. Is it on camera?
Yes. Go ahead and open the package.
It's one way to do it.
I was looking for a pen to cut the tape.
You know what? Honestly, this is how I think Chewy opens boxes. There's just no... It's just, okay, we've got a little paper on top.
It's not ticking, so I think we're good.
opens it up, some paper coming out, packing slip.
You want to read the note?
There's not a note? It's a packing slip.
Oh, I thought it was a note. Maybe it is a note.
It is from... Drinking Buds.
Oh.
My sponsor.
No wonder
waiting
it was sent to you. You knew it wasn't a helmet. It was too heavy for a helmet. Couldn't you tell there was liquid in there?
Me and the blammer, 4 o'clock, drinking Buds.
I mean,
in fairness, very nice of them.
The only other thing he ever gets sent here are like playing cards that people want him to sign.
Oh, so that's why
he would think like, I mean, a helmet would fit inside that box. I don't know how you would send it back to somebody, but in fairness to Chewy, that's probably why he thought that.
Do you guys want some drinking Buds?
Yes, absolutely. But why didn't I just refer to it as a box? Why did I have to say package? I'm not sure it makes it any better, but...
Would you like some drinking Buds?
I would love some drinking Buds. Thanks, bud.
Joshy.
Call me in, brother.
Right. That was very nice of him.
Yes, it was.
Now that's a tiny package.
But that? The smaller box?
Yeah, the smaller box with the with the cans inside.
You would know.
Look at that.
There you go. Some spiked lemonade.
Oh, very nice.
All right, and you do have Blammer Thursday tonight.
I do have Blammer Thursday.
Which is why you won't be at the ESPN Wisconsin draft.
Well, I mean... What's more important, showing up at the draft or getting his Blammer fixed? Because Blammer's been grounded for 3 weeks.
Yes.
I didn't know it was 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't you contribute to him getting grounded?
Wow.
Who can say?
It's neither here nor there.
I mean, dent in the garage drywall was not that big.
How big are we talking about? As big as your package?
Which one?
We got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Second hour of the show, Tom Pelissero comparing this Packers team to a very successful Packers team. Perhaps one of the most successful Packers teams in the history of the franchise. That's next.